I am fascinated with people. I love this whole concept that you can see someone, they walk up past you in a mall, and you've just got no idea who those people are. So today, we're getting to know a brand new guy called Trevino. Well, I haven't met him before. So Trevino, hello, how are you doing?
Hello, Janine. I'm so well and so excited to chat with you today.
Okay, tell me all about yourself. Let's intro you first. Like, and where do you live and who are you if you had to introduce you to a complete stranger?
Oh, that's a loaded question. But yeah, I'm from Paarl, yeah, in the Western Cape. And I'm a married man. I've got two children. I love to be involved with church activities. I play in the worship team. And I just love making music.
As in, is this a family thing? Did you get it from mom and dad and grandpa? Or is this new in the genes?
I would think it's part of, I got it from my dad and my mom. They both sing. And how I got into music, my dad actually got a guitar when he gave his life to the Lord. He wanted to learn to play an instrument, and he got a guitar from somebody at the church. And I got hold of that guitar. And today I play, and my dad still can't play guitar.
He didn't have a chance, sir. You hijacked his guitar career.
Yes, that's the true story.
Okay, but he gets saved now. How did you get saved? Because obviously God doesn't have grandchildren.
That's true. So I grew up with my dad not being saved, and he was a reckless guy. But we were part of the Roman Catholic Church, and there was this youth group that we visited. Every Friday we went to this youth group. It's called Awana, and they played games. They shared the word, and I met a lot of friends there. And what was part of this program, they invited you to come to their church. It was a Baptist church where the Awana program was held. And that Sunday, the Sunday school teacher just shared the gospel about Jesus and that we should give our lives to the Lord. You know, when we surrender to Him, we will get eternal life. And I was 10 years old when I heard that message, and I put up my hand. I said, I want to give my life to Jesus. And that's how I got saved. And afterward, my dad got saved. So when we got involved with the church, me and my sister, we were always going there. We didn't go to the Roman Catholic Church anymore. We wanted to be part of this family at this particular Baptist church, because the youth club was there. All my friends were there. And then after that, a lot of things changes when my dad came to give his life to the Lord.
Because it does change something, huh? I mean, when a dad in a house gets saved, it's an atmosphere, it's an authority thing. How did your household, what changed practically that people around could see this is not the same household as it was in the past? Mm-hmm.
So my dad was a very aggressive guy, and he loved the bottle. So he drank a lot. And when he got saved, that changed in an instant.
Wow.
I remember that day we had a play that we performed at the church, and my dad just came. We invited him the whole week, and he came in there. He said he's never going to go to the church on a Saturday because a Saturday is his drinking day.
Yeah.
That's when he drinks. But he came in there. He was under the influence, and he came and he was looking for me. He walked in the front of the church, and he showed somebody, pointed to me, and he was looking for me. I'm like, what is my dad going to do now? He's making trouble here. And then he called me, and this brother that was at the church, my dad told me, this brother is going to pray for him now, and I must watch and see that he doesn't do any funny business. And, you know, that guy prayed and led my dad to the Lord, and in an instant, he was sober. We went during the break. My mom asked, Trevino, what happened? I just said, Dad gave his life to the Lord, and he changed. And a whole community all around us knew my dad, who he was and what type of guy he was. But he changed, and he just had this fire for God, and he was going, doing outreaches, and our whole family changed because of that, how the Lord changed the father of the house.
Because his testimony was known. I mean, his salvation literally was seen by every single one because he was such a drinker and everything beforehand. Then when he changed, it was that obvious. And obviously, people would have thought by themselves, it's just going to take a while and he's going to fall back. But then he didn't, huh?
Yeah, and, you know, I grew up with the church. And when my dad got saved, I went everywhere with him. When there was a service, I was there. When we did outreach and when I started playing guitar, I did the worship whenever we did an outreach or an open air service, you know, and it was great to see this man changed from, I know who he was, this angry man, this hurtful man, and now he was supportive. And he wasn't perfect. He still had his things that he had to work through, but his life dramatically changed for the good.
You know what? It doesn't matter how dramatically you get saved. And I'm now talking about you. You know, past the dad bit, nah? Life has a way of testing that faith of yours. You know, that stuff starts so happening. And we literally, you get confronted with, is what I believe true? Has your faith been tested that way?
Oh, definitely. Over the years, definitely. But I would say, there was a time where my faith was really tested when my first wife got sick with cancer in 2015. And, you know, it was a time where we started our own business. I was working at our church full time as a worship director. And 2015 was the year where we're going to start our own thing. And now we're going to go. I left my job at the church. I was still involved with the church, still led worship, but I wasn't part of the team anymore, wasn't part of or getting a salary, for lack of a better word. And that January, when we started, Alicia, my first wife, got diagnosed with cancer. And, you know, a lot of stuff went through my head, like, oh, did I do the right thing to leave the church job and now? But, you know, during that time, she had to go through chemotherapy. She had a big operation. And we trusted the Lord because His plan is going to prevail. And that year was a year of really faith testing, I would say. And no, one thing the Lord asked or showed me this during that time, He told me, Trevino, are you trusting me to do something for you? Or are you trusting me because I'm God? And that's a big difference. You know, when we trust God for something because we want something out of it, or are we believing God for who He is, that He is the God that's in control and He knows what He does is best and that He sees the bigger picture. You know, and in 2016, the cancer was gone and she was cancer-free. And 2017, the cancer came back. And this time the doctor said they can't have an operation. The cancer's been spread too far. And in that July, my first wife, Alicia, passed away. And during that time, I just had to believe that God is still faithful. It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy, but, you know, our daughter was 6 years old at that time. And, you know, I had to believe that God has a plan. He has a plan. And it was tough letting go. But, you know, Alicia had such a wonderful relationship with the Lord. She wanted to be with the Lord during those last few weeks of going through that cancer. And we prayed that the Lord would come and fetch her, because that's what she wanted. And, you know, she was young, 36 years old, very young. And then she had a full life because she was faithful to God, faithful to His work. And she lived for Him completely. Yeah, so that was a time of really grounding me in my faith. Because I know of a lot of people that turns away from the faith. That says, where was God? But you can't explain it, but that just pulled me closer to God and just trusting Him that my life is in His hands and I don't know how it looks like, it's easier talking about it now, but during that time, it was really a fight, and confronting all these truths that surround me, and you know, shutting down all the lies that God doesn't care, and that why is this happening, you know? But to really believe that God loves us, and even if things don't go our plan, our way, He's still in control.
Because it is different to lose someone when they're saved, when you know that you know that you know they're fine, that they're it's not just this empty platitude when people say they're in mm-hmm. a better place, but you know yeah. that it is the truth. It has to be different in your heart than it would have otherwise.
I agree totally with you. It is so true.
Mm. So is your music a way of then working through things in life? Does it help that you can actually create and make something of the pain?
Oh, definitely. I always say, when I go through a season of not writing music or creating music, then I'm like in a desert season, then I'm dead. But when I create, even when I go through these things, because that's mostly what my music is about. And I wrote a song a few years back, and going through that season, Walking Tall, and in 2021, released it. And thankful that Radio Pulpit played my song and still playing it. And, you know, that song was a song of encouragement that we've got to keep on walking, even when things don't go our way, when life throws a curveball and things happens to us. We got to keep on moving because God loves us and He cares for us. And music has always been this, I would say, vehicle of me just sharing my journey, sharing my story. But it's also brought me healing when I sing these songs, when I talk about the song and I talk about my journey. There's a healing that also comes with it. So I would definitely say that, yes, it's been a way of me just releasing all that's in me, all those emotions and struggles that I go through.
Okay, well, if the song's called Für Ewig und Altijd, and if it is a love song, then I must assume that God gave you another love?
Oh, yes. I'm so blessed with my journey and how God has just added to my life.
No, tell me. So, I want the juicy bit.
So after the passing of my wife in 2017 and after the funeral, a friend of hers reached out to me just to ask, how are we doing? And we went for a coffee and we talked, and this friend, Christelle is her name, she was part of our first wedding in 2005, she was one of the bridesmaids, but she was never a household friend, you know. She, my first wife and Christelle, they studied together, they did art together, so both artists, and they did art together in college, and they always would go for coffee, but she wasn't a house friend, so I didn't know her very well. And then, you know, when Alicia got sick, she started visiting her in the hospital, sat with her through chemotherapy, one of the few friends that she allowed to sit with her. And after the funeral has gone, I changed my number because I was just bothered by a lot of people. And I just thought, I'm just going to change my number. And somehow, Christelle reached out to me and just asked, how are we doing? And we started chatting. And she went on an overseas trip. I took Gabriella on an overseas trip, our daughter. And when we got back from our different trips, we started sharing and talking about life and stuff. And, you know, something happened in my heart for this lady. And I was fighting it the whole time. Like, is this right? Should I, you know, what's happening here now? And, you know, God has really placed this woman of God in my life to come in a season of restoration for me, not just about me, but my daughter, and also with Christella's journey. So in 2018, we got married in September. It's almost our anniversary next month. So yeah, and we are almost 6 years married now. And the Lord has blessed us with a wonderful boy. He's turned 3 in July. And so this song, Vir Ewig en Altyd, is my first Afrikaans song I wrote for Christelle about the changes in life and how, you know, your companion and that love that God gives us is Vir Ewig en Altyd, forever and ever. It never goes away.
We always joke, it's the heavenly language. The rest will have to learn the heavenly language to get into heaven. This Afrikaans stuff. But oh, you know what? We always love Romans 1:20, which says that God has created what he's created in such a way that it's a revelation of him, of his character, and of his invisible things. And that he's created man, he's created woman, he's created the institute of marriage. He's the one that he's thought, it's his way of doing. And there's something beautiful about a husband and a wife going through thick and thin, sticking to one another, even if you know the worst of one another, and the way that love feels as a revelation of how God's love for us is when we say that we're his bride. Now, and you've had that opportunity twice. What about the love between you and your wife, and wives in this case, is something that you would, if you had to take it through to God's love for us, that really would impress you about how special it is?
You know, the wonderful thing about love, and not just a love that you have for something, your favorite show or what, but that enduring love that unchangeable love, unconditional love. This is unconditional love. So, you know, my wife, when she met me, she had this picture of who I was because she knew of me. And she got to learn or got to know me for who I am. And I had a lot of faults. I had a lot of struggles. But she chose to love me for who I was. And, you know, she also spoke to me. We were open. We talked, and we're not going to beat around the bush. This is who I am. This is who God made me. This is my faults. You can see it. I have struggles. But I choose, and that choice to love is the thing that keeps you going. It's not a feeling. You know, it's lovely to feel I'm loved, but to make that choice and to choose. And, you know, that's the beauty of the love of God. He chose us. And he said, no matter what happens, I'm going to love you because I made you. And, you know, that unconditional love of forgiveness and carrying each other. When the one is low, the other one will pick up the other one. You know, I've learned that through these past years, that I've got somebody that loves me unconditionally, that accepts me for who I am, and that is going to support me through the tough times and through the good times. And that's how God loves us, isn't it? That he looks away from what is the struggles that we're going through, and he pulls us through it. He doesn't take it away. It's not going to just disappear, but he pulls us through it and he says, I'm here for you. No matter what happens, we're going to get through this. And that's the special love that I experience. I'm thankful to the Lord that I've had that twice in my life, that I'm experiencing it also now for the second time.
Yeah, you've had two chances to love a woman well. And I love that you wrote a song about it. I love that Christians are writing love songs. I mean, it doesn't belong to Satan for us Christians. Yeah. We are not only allowed to sing about Jesus. Jesus loved, and his love is something that we need to celebrate. And if it gets onto mainstream radio, and people can start following you, and they can see Jesus on your profiles, you know, if they can in some way make that connection, then you've done something eternal with this, a love song, a straight love song. It's beautiful. It's very well done. So I want to ask, if people want to follow you, how do they do that? Where do they go?
So I think the easiest way for people to follow me is on my Facebook. It's Trivino, just Trivenoe. Trevino Music on my Instagram as well, on YouTube, and then my website is trevino.co.za. So people will find me there. My music is loaded on there. If they have streaming services like Apple Music, you can search Trevino. The new song will pop up. It's already there on streaming platforms. And yeah, I love to be in contact with people, and they can drop me a message, tell me what they think about my music. And yeah, I would love to journey with them.
Okay, Vir Ewig en Vir Altijd, that's a single that we're releasing today. If people listen to these lyrics, what's like the one point you'd like them to understand what you were actually saying?
So there's a lot happening in the song, but I think the most important thing is that a man, the Bible says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing, right? So in the song I say, when our paths cross, I found peace. When I found this woman, there's some kind of peace that came with that, where the search of looking for somebody or looking for acceptance, it's like over. You know, you have this fight as a man to always impress and to be this macho guy. But then when you find this person, when you find the love of your life, that fight is over because they have won your heart. And in the last verse, I say that, you know, ek is klaar beklei. I'm done fighting because you've won my heart. And I really want people, because I've experienced love and to get married to the person that I love and want to be with twice now. I want that for somebody else also. And if you're going through your marriage and things aren't what they're supposed to be, go back to that place where you found that first love. Who is this person? Get to know that person again, who you fell in love with. And, you know, we change. As the song say, we over the years we change and things change. But, you know, that love still binds us together. So, yeah, it's a lot more than just one thing. But I hope the listeners get the message.